Well, it's what we would refer to as Christmas Sunday. So the preacher is going to pause from Ephesians and focus our attention on what we celebrate at this time of year. But I'm not trying to be your typical preacher of pious platitudes. That is not me. I'm going to focus the glory and honor upon Jesus, and that means that I have to be sometimes contrary to the main expectation of what Christians focus on. Suppose I told you that much of what you know in history is not true. Would that surprise you, that much of what you sat in class and were taught about history wasn't really exactly the way it happened? Because there's an old saying. Have you ever heard this saying? To the victor belongs the writing of history. Have you ever heard that? Before you go too far, Christianity became the official religion of Rome in the 4th century. There's much of what we understand in what we've been taught that may not be true. Let me shock you. Where is Ralph? Ralph, you're a World War II veteran. Are there any other World War II veterans in here? I know that they are passing away 1,500 at least a day. My dad was a World War II vet, 2002. Ralph got a wonderful physical report. He's doing well. So we've renewed him for another 10 years. On the elder board. He's our senior and favorite, and he will be 103 before we have to worry about renewing him again. But suppose what you were told about World War II was not quite the way it happened. Have you ever thought about that? There's a breaking story. I sent for the book. But there's a breaking story that now our government is leaking very carefully, very slowly, because they wouldn't want to do this all at once. For there would be quite a reaction from people if everything you were taught about World War II, or at least a significant portion, was not quite actually the way it happened. Let me give you a for instance. The FBI, it says, has quietly declassified secret files proving that Hitler did not die in the bunker, that he fled to Argentina in 1945, and there is profound and convincing evidence that Hitler lived at least until 1963 in Argentina, living a bohemian life, and all that you heard about the underground bunker, him taking poison, him shooting himself in the head, was concocted by the Soviets because they wanted to grab Hitler, but the U.S. secretly was involved in surreptitiously, either actively or facilitating the escape of Adolf Hitler to Argentina. Before you blow that off as conspiracy theory, let me read this to you. On April the 30th, 1945, Adolf Hitler supposedly committed suicide in his underground bunker. His body was later discovered and identified by the Soviets before being rushed back to Russia. They took the remnants of a body they said was Hitler's, a skull. They rushed it back, and the Soviet Iron Curtain came down, and everybody for years, I was taught this in history, I've seen this on World at War with that famous British accent showing him in the bunker. And they found out when the Soviet Union collapsed that the DNA remains were not that of Hitler. The skull DNA was not Hitler. It was from an unknown woman, not Hitler. Newly declassified FBI documents prove that the government knew Hitler was alive and well and living in the Andes Mountains long after World War II. And they have a picture of Hitler. It's not photoshopped. Actually in Argentina, they had changed his looks so that people would not immediately recognize him. But you can tell it's him when you see this picture that has not been photoshopped. Is it really possible the Soviets were lying? And the answer is yes, they didn't have the proof. No one thought so until the release of these FBI documents. It seems that it is possible that the most hated man in history escaped war-torn Germany and lived a bucolic and peaceful life in the Andes Mountains. These documents are beginning to show that not only was Hitler and Eva Braun's suicide faked, the infamous pair might have had help from the Swiss director of the United States Secret Service himself. In one FBI document from Los Angeles, it revealed that the agency was well aware of a submarine making its way to Argentina to drop him off. What is more astonishing is the fact that the FBI knew he was living in Argentina and did nothing about it. In Los Angeles letter to the Bureau, the FBI of 1945, an unidentified informant brought incontrovertible proof for political asylum. This German said, for political asylum in the country, I'll give you proof of where Hitler is. The proof, it is said, was stunning. The informant not only knew Hitler was in Argentina, he was one of the confirmed four men who had met the submarine and assisted Hitler off with Eva Braun. Apparently, two submarines had landed, one in which Adolf Hitler was. The Argentina government not only welcomed the former dictator, but aided in his hiding. The informant went on not only to give detailed directions to villages that Hitler was living in, but also credible physical details of Adolf Hitler that only someone who had been personally with him would have even known. And they have this Federal Bureau of Investigation, and it has been discovered that our own intelligence agencies within the government assisted in hiding. That history that tells you he was dead from suicide was a ruse, and they guaranteed his protection to Argentina. How do you like that? Suppose a lot of what you've been taught about history is not true. Well, Pastor Dave, what does Christmas have to do with an escaped madman from Germany to Argentina? Well, suppose much of what they've taught you about Christmas is not true. Here we go, Pastor Dave. Here we go. When is Christmas? Tell me why we put Christmas on December the 25th. Do you know the real story of Christmas? Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. Sorry. This is the sermon that people that love Christmas always hate, but since we didn't have the Christmas tree here this year, and I don't have a big Christmas tree in front of me, let me do the wake-up call. December the 25th was chosen because the Roman Empire celebrated December the 25th, and it was called Sol Invictus. Do you know what Sol Invictus is? That's when the Romans would celebrate, due to their Agrarian holidays, that the sun's light will now be longer than the shortness of winter. In other words, light on December the 25th, they knew that was the certain day in which light would be lengthened. Why would they want light to be lengthened? To have good crops and bring in food for the next year. So December the 25th is not Jesus' birthday. When we sit there and say he was born in Bethlehem on December the 25th, why do we give gifts? Because Jesus gave his son, right? No. There was another Roman holiday. It was called Saturnalia. Saturnalia is when the Romans celebrated the birth of the god Saturn. And in order to celebrate, at the time of December, the Romans always had a lot of beer and wine because crops were in, the fermentation process had come to its completion, and they had beer and wine, and what they would do is, to celebrate the birth of the god Saturn in the sky, they would give each other gifts and throw parties. Did you know that for the first four centuries of the church, the early church said that celebrating Jesus' birthday was an affront to the holiness of God? Let me repeat that, because I know I'm making people mad. Come on, Dave, that made me feel warm and fuzzy. The early church said to celebrate Jesus' birth was an affront to the holiness of God. Why? Because pagan kings celebrated their birth in that manner. So around the 4th century, after the church had been persecuted by Rome and they never celebrated Jesus' birth, Constantine, the great Roman emperor, decided to legalize Christianity. It used to be legal in our country. Did you hear about that, by the way? The teacher that had students in grade school write down an Islamic prayer for calligraphy. Did you hear about that? And how people got upset, and CNN was saying how that is so intolerant that they would not let those kids do calligraphy of an Islamic prayer. Well, let me spin this another way. Suppose that same teacher had put a verse of Jesus' birth at Bethlehem. What do you think the school district would have done with that? And CNN would have said what? How intolerant of you. Well, Christianity used to be legal in our country, but the Romans made it legal, and then the Catholic Church was growing and had a problem. How do you tell people that you need to be at church at December the 25th when you're having parties for Sol Invictus and Saturnalia? Because everybody would desert the churches that Constantine had legalized, and they'd all be out celebrating the pagan holidays that now has become what we celebrate. So the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church declared, since God sent his son and Saturnalia is the celebration of the light of the sun, I know there's some word problems there, but it still works. We're going to celebrate Jesus' birth. And in the 4th or 5th century, the church, to keep from having to compete with pagan festivals, made Christmas. That's why when people say, put the Christ back into Christmas, I'm sorry. He wasn't there. And what has happened is, the church has become paganized. Make me feel good, preacher. I love this holiday, giving gifts, celebrating Jesus' birth. Now, here is the real truth. The foundation of celebrating Christmas is not Jesus' birth. The foundation of celebrating Christmas, if you celebrate it, is His resurrection. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, the celebration of His birth has absolutely no right to be in a church. Let me give you some other interesting facts for those of you who may not. Puritans. How many have ever heard of the word Puritans? Anybody from Boston here? The Puritans banned Christmas for 2 centuries. What do you mean? How could Christian Puritans ban Christmas? Because they knew, Cotton Mather said, of exactly what I just told you. It was a pagan holiday with a thin Christian veneer. As a matter of fact, if you were celebrating Christmas in Boston, now it's so liberal, you were given a 5-shilling fine and you were put in prison overnight. And then the Puritans would do this with you. They'd put you in those stocks. And you'd sit there all night in the cold winter rethinking your sin of celebrating a pagan holiday. And where do we get what term from? What's the term we get from Puritans? Puritanical. They were no fun. True or false? The celebration of Christmas is due to the church. True or false? The answer is false. It's due to department stores in England and America. They were losing business in the 19th and early 20th century, and they found a scheme to get everybody to give gifts so that their bottom line was increased, and we have the celebration of Jesus' birth today, not because of the church, but because of department stores. True or false? The first police department in New York was formed due to crime. True or false? It was formed due to a Christmas riot. New York didn't have a police department. And it was because people in New York City would celebrate the pagan form of Christmas where they would cross-dress, have orgies, they would march into the rich areas of people's neighborhoods. And where do you think Christmas caroling came from? These poor people who had nothing in New York would march into the rich people's homes and would chant. If they didn't give them a handout, they would knock down their door. And from that, as much as I know you're going to think I've lost my ever-loving mind, Christmas caroling evolved. See, not only did you think Hitler was killed in the bunker, but it's interesting what really goes on. And that's the real story. And you're not feeling the warm fuzzies. You're not feeling that, hark the herald angels sing. And I know that I bother people because this holiday actually detracts from Jesus Christ. Paul said this in Romans. Paul said this in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. Do you think how many? Those of you who are on our Bible study on Wednesday night, how many sons and daughters did David have? How many wives did he have? Well, not as many as Solomon. Solomon had 700 wives and how many concubines? And all the women said, get him. David had seven or more that we are aware of. He had dozens of sons. How come we don't celebrate the other descendants of David? Paul says this concerning his son who was born of the descendants of David according to his flesh, who was declared the Son of God by power of resurrection. Now, what is that saying? What makes the celebration of Jesus' birth even possible, permissible, is the incontrovertible proof of Jesus' resurrection, whereby the Father declared that Jesus was no messianic pretender. He was actually the Son of God forever by the resurrection of the dead. So it is not Christmas that makes possible the resurrection. It is the resurrection that makes possible the pagan celebration of Christmas. So we go to 1 Corinthians. Verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you. What's he talking about? What's the gospel? If an unsaved person said to me, hey, you idiot Christian, that's what they call me all the time. What's the gospel? It means what? The good news. The good news about what?
Jesus.
Well, what about him? That he was born in Bethlehem? Let's look at what the gospel means. I preach to you the gospel which you received, wherein you also stand. You don't stand in Christmas born in Bethlehem. By which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word of the gospel that I preach to you. For I delivered you as of first importance. First importance, that Christ died for our sins. Do you know what the gospel centers on? It is not, hark the herald angels sing. Oh, isn't that sweet? Because Christmas detracts. Jesus was a messianic pretender and a phony unless he was raised from the dead. That is the hope and the center focus of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. What's the gospel's focus? Not on his birth. How did it get this way, Pastor Dave? Well, just like you were lied to about Hitler died, they've done a lot of work on people about Christmas, and the focus of the power of the gospel gets off of the resurrection of Jesus. Look what it says. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren. So when they tell you that Jesus only appeared to the disciples, that's hogwash. Jesus appeared to 500 brethren at one time. Now, how do you think the gospel spread so quickly? Tell you something, you want to see people transformed? You see people when they are given incontrovertible proof of the physical resurrection of Jesus. 500 at once that walked up to him, talked to him, recognized him, felt him. These people became the earliest evangelists, and when people heard these people proclaim Jesus' resurrection, they knew that he was raised. You ever, I listen to a lot of radio programs, and you get an instinct for when people aren't quite telling you the truth. You ever listen to someone going, something's wrong there? I'll tell you something, so transformed were these 500 evangelists from seeing the physical resurrection of Jesus that they upset the whole Roman world of Jesus' resurrection. And I'm telling you, the 12 apostles, well, 11, 12 if you count Mattathias, Judas, of course, committed suicide, they all died deaths of torture and were told to absolutely reject Jesus or die. You ought to read some of the stories of the church, early church tradition of how these men died. They all died firmly declaring up to their last moment the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead because they knew he was Savior. 500 brethren at once, and then he appeared to James. Some try to say that Jesus never appeared to any enemies. James with his biggest enemy. How many of you have family members that you don't get along with and don't respect you? Guess what? Jesus also had the same. James, his half-brother who wrote the epistle of James, that was the last thing that James was going to do, was to admit that his oldest brother was the Messiah. Come on. James was hostile. And then Jesus appeared to James, and you know what James had to say in the book that he wrote? Our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be hard for someone in the family to admit that their brother was more than what he appeared to be, and James did. And then he appeared to Paul. Now, if Christ is preached, why do you say that there is no resurrection? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised in this. If Christ has not been raised, your preaching is useless, Paul said. So you can have all the warm fuzzies you want about Christmas. Let me sober everybody up. You serve a risen Savior who, because he was physically raised from the dead, declared to be the Son of God with power, we can have firm assurance that the celebration that we do of Christmas has its foundation in the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. Otherwise, our preaching is vain. Go join the Odd Fellows or the whatever those clubs are. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God because we have witnessed against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if Christ is not raised from the dead. You see, everything depends upon this. You want to celebrate Christmas? Remember this on December the 25th. He wasn't born then, but he was declared to be the Son of God with power. He was declared to be the Savior because God raised him from the dead after he paid the price for all of our sins from Adam to the last man. That's the real significance of Christmas.